Good afternoon and welcome to the Catholic Opinion. My name is Father Anthony Somich of the Priestly Fraternity of St. Peter. Let's begin today's show with a prayer. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. So welcome everybody. Happy New Year to you all. It's our first show of the year here at Catholic Opinion. As I said, my name is Father Anthony Somich, a priest of the Priestly Fraternity of St. Peter. We are the custodians of the Latin Mass chaplaincy here in Auckland, having been invited in by Bishop Patrick Dunn some over 5 years, 5.5 years ago now, and still growing, enjoying bringing the Latin Mass and the traditions of the Church to our parishioners here in the Auckland Diocese. We work out of St. Anne's Chapel in Te Aratu South. And you can find all the details about our apostolate on our website, which is fssp.nz. That is fssp.nz. Or on our Facebook page, FSSP Auckland. So you're more than welcome to come along and join us. We are trying our best to remain open as much as we can throughout the lockdowns. We were able to keep confessions going during level 4 and level 3. We had a lot of people coming for confessions due to our exterior confessional window. And if we do go into any further lockdowns, just as I said, keep an eye on our website and our Facebook page, because we're trying to provide those sacraments as much as we can. Currently at St. Anne's, we do not have a policy of vaccine passports, so therefore everyone is welcome to all of our masses. We have 2 masses on Sunday. They are both at St. Anne's Chapel. There is a capacity of 50 people inside the chapel for the orange traffic light setting. We also have a hall next door with a large screen, so we can get 50 in there as well. And many of the others, because it's summer, of course, are happy to sit around outside, bringing blankets and chairs and whatever they want, some umbrellas to keep out of the sun. And so in that way, we're able to cater for everybody with 2 masses on a Sunday, 7 a.m., very early, but for the early risers, it's not a difficulty. And then 9:30 a.m., which is our sung mass. And confessions are before both of those masses, and in fact, 7 days a week at St. Anne's. So by all means, come along and introduce yourself at some stage. You're all very welcome to join him. So the last couple of weeks, I have been giving some meditations on various aspects of the liturgical season. And I'm going to continue that today simply because yesterday, of course, was the Feast of the Epiphany, and this coming Sunday is the Feast of the Most Holy Family. So during this Christmas tide that we are, strictly speaking, still in, let's put our concentration on the mysteries of our faith at this particular time of the year, as there is so much beauty in that, and especially in the liturgy, which is the great teaching tool of Almighty God. So let's put our minds to specifically the Mass of the Epiphany. And for those of you who were at the Latin Mass last night, the Mass of the Epiphany, and if you did have your own hand missals, you were able to follow the particular prayers for the Latin Mass of the Epiphany. Now, the first of those particular prayers in the proper of the Mass is, of course, the Introit of the Mass. And the Introit of the Mass last night brings us into this spirit which presents Jesus to us in the full majesty of his divinity. As it said, behold, this is from the prophet Isaiah, behold, the sovereign Lord is come. In his hands He holds the kingdom, the power, and the empire. That's Isaiah 60 and from verses 1 to 6. Behold, the sovereign Lord has come. In his hands he holds the kingdom, the power, and the empire. And this is this person of Christ, even from his very birth. And the three kings recognize this, of course, as they come to pay homage to him, even though he is an infant. Now, the epistle of the Mass, which is, if you're not really regularly going to the Latin Mass, that is what we would call, what you would call the first reading. The epistle is taken again from Isaiah. And I'll read you the epistle of this particular Mass. Arise, be enlightened, O Jerusalem, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and a mist the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall walk in thy light, and the kings in the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thy eyes round about, and see, all these are gathered together. They are come to thee. Thy sons shall come from afar, and thy daughters shall rise up at thy side. Then shalt thou see and abound, and thy heart shall wonder and be enlarged. When the multitude of the sea shall be converted to thee, the strength of the Gentiles shall come to thee. The multitude of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Madian and Ephah. All they from Saba shall come, bringing gold and frankincense and showing forth praise to the Lord. If you are one of those who have booked your Epiphany house blessing, which I do every year for the, during the octave of Epiphany, you'll know these words as they are read out during the blessing of the house, which is one of the great things that we can get done each year, as we have our front doors marked with the marks of the three kings. So we hear that in this epistle there breaks forth a hymn of joy announcing the vocation of the Gentiles to their faith. They too will be acknowledged and adore Jesus as their God. Arise and be enlightened, O Jerusalem, for thy light has come. And the Gentiles shall walk in thy light, and kings in the brightness of thy rising. They from Saba shall come, bringing gold and frankincense and showing forth praise of the Lord. Of course, this prophecy did come to fruition on that beautiful evening or beautiful morning when the three kings arrived. We no longer gaze upon the lowly picture of the shepherds at the manger passing before us. Now is the resplendent procession of these kings from the east, representing the pagan nations and all the kings of the earth who come to pay homage to the child who is in fact God. So the Epiphany or Theophany means manifestation of God. And it is realized in Jesus, who manifests himself as God and Lord of the world. Already a prodigy has revealed his divinity, this extraordinary star which appeared in the sky, the night sky of the east. To the commemoration of this miracle, which holds the primary place in the Epiphany liturgy, the church adds two others: the changing of water into wine at the wedding feast of Cana, and the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan, when a voice from heaven announced, "This is my beloved Son." So these are these manifestations. The Magnificat antiphon of this day, of that day, says, three miracles adorn this holy city, three miracles which should lead us to recognize the child Jesus as our God and King, and to adore him with lively faith. In the gradual of the Epiphany Mass, it continues the story of the Magi, for it says, "We have seen his star in the east and are come with gifts to adore him." So these three kings, they saw the star and they set out from their own kingdoms, always a very perilous thing in the ancient world, because leaving your kingdom without your own direct control was considered something risky. They had no doubts, though, Their unabounded faith was strong and sure. They did not hesitate at the prospect of the trials of a journey of which they did not know the length. They had generous hearts, therefore. They did not postpone their journey. Their souls were ready. A star often appears in the heaven of our souls. It is an inspiration from God, clear and intimate, urging us to greater generosity and calling us to a life of closer union with Him. Like the Magi, we too must always follow our star with faith, promptness, and selfless generosity. If we allow it to guide us, it will certainly lead us to God. It will bring us to the one whom we are seeking. The Magi did not give up their quest, although the star at one point disappeared from their sight. We should follow their example and their perseverance, even when we are in that exterior darkness or that interior darkness. This is a trial of faith which is overcome only by the exercise of pure, naked faith. I know that He wills it. I know that God is calling, and this suffices for me. To 2 Timothy 1:12. I know whom I have believed. No matter what happens, I shall trust Him. So in this spirit, let us accompany the Magi to adore the newborn King. And the breviary of Epiphany says, and as they brought forth from among their treasures mystical gifts, let us from our hearts bring forth something fit to offer Him. Let us say, therefore, O Jesus, I adore You, for You are the Lord my God. For You, my Lord, are a great God and a great King above all kings. For in Your hand are all the ends of the earth, and the heights of the mountains are Yours. For the sea is Yours, and You made it, and Your hands formed the dry land. We are the people of Your pasture and the sheep of Your hand. So yes, O Jesus, I am one of Your lambs, one of Your creatures, and I am happy to acknowledge my nothingness in Your presence, and still happier to adore You, O lovely infant, as my God and my Redeemer. Oh, that all nations would acknowledge You for what You are, that all might prostrate before You, adoring You as their Lord and God. O Lord, You can do this. Reveal Your divinity to all mankind, and just as You drew the Magi from the east to You, now in like manner unite all peoples and all nations around Your manger. You have shown me that You want my poor cooperation in order to bring about the coming of Your kingdom. You wish me to pray, You wish me to suffer, and You wish me to work for the conversion of those who are near and of those who are far away. You wish that I, too, place before the manger the gifts of the wise men, the incense of prayer, the myrrh of mortification, and of suffering born with generosity out of love for You, and finally the gold of charity. Charity which will make my heart wholly and exclusively Yours. Charity which will spur me on to work, to spend myself for the conversion of sinners and infidels, and for the greater sanctification of Your elect. O my loving King, create in me the heart of an apostle. If only I could lay at Your feet today the praise and adoration of everyone on earth. O my Jesus, While I beg you to reveal yourself to the world, I also beseech you to reveal yourself more and more to my poor soul. Let your star shine for me today and point out to me the road which leads directly to you. May this day be a real epiphany for me, a new manifestation to my mind and heart of your great majesty. He who knows you more loves you more, O Lord, and I want to know you solely in order to love you, to give myself to you with ever greater generosity. Amen. So I said that also we would contemplate the Holy Family as we walk into the Sunday and celebrate in the old rite, of course, the Feast of the Holy Family on this day. So for the last, it is actually in the last time in the cycle of the liturgical year that the Church invites us to contemplate the mystery of Jesus' humble, hidden life. So a feeling of close intimacy and tenderness characterizes this feast and is expressed in, as always, the beautiful liturgy of the day. It is good for us to recall the little home at Nazareth and the humble life of those who live there. In it, Jesus learned Joseph's humble trade and grew in age and was happy sharing the work of a carpenter. Let the sweat, he seemed to say, trickle over my limbs before they are drenched with the torrent of my blood. And the pain of this labor shall go to atone for the sins of men. Thus says today the breviary of the Holy Family, the feast. Let us enter the little house in the presence of such humility, which conceals Jesus' infinite majesty. And let us repeat the words of the sacred text of the breviary, which says, Thou art indeed a hidden king, O God, the Saviour, King of Israel. In this liturgy of the Holy Family is particularly emphasized one typical aspect of the humble life of this hidden Saviour of ours, who is, of course, God. And this aspect is obedience. For although he was the Son of God, he learned to obey. He humbled himself, becoming obedient, even unto death. From Bethlehem to Calvary, obedience was his companion. In the Gospel of the Holy Family, taken from the second book of St. Luke, it stresses this obedience of Jesus at Nazareth in words which carry for all time the strength of their first utterance. He was subject to them. Let us ask ourselves with the great Saint Bernard, who obeyed? Whom did he obey? And that saint replies, God obeyed man. Yes, the God to whom the angels are subject was subject to Mary, and not only to Mary, but also to Joseph. For God to obey a woman is humility without parallel. Learn then, man, to obey. Learn, O earth, to be submissive. God subjected himself to humans. And do you, desiring to rule others, place yourself above your Creator? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? Jesus, who was so humble and submissive, did not hesitate to make this reply to Mary when she gently questioned him about having remained behind in the temple without her or Joseph's knowledge, while they in anguish had been seeking him for 3 days. These are the first words of Jesus, which we find recorded in the Gospel. He spoke them in order to declare his mission and to affirm the primacy of the rights of God. When still hardly even an adolescent, Jesus taught us that God and the things of God must always come first. He must hold the first place in our lives, and we must obey him regardless of all other considerations, even if it means sacrificing the rights and nature and of blood. We need to recognize this in our day and age, where we hear such incredible idioms such as, I need to be who I am. I am what I am. I will follow my way. My way is unique. But these sayings of such pride stand in the face of the way the child Jesus said to his parents, did you not know that I must be about who? My Father's business, not my own. So yielding to relatives and friends is no longer a virtue, and may even be sinful if it leads us away from the will of God or hinders its fulfillment. Giving precedence to the rights of God does not imply that we neglect our duties towards our neighbor. The Feast of the Holy Family calls our attention to these obligations, and especially to those concerning our family, natural or religious, inviting us to follow the example of the Holy Family of Nazareth. And to this end, the epistle taken from St. Paul's letter to the Colossians shows us the virtues we should practice. As it says, clothe yourself with mercy, benignity, humility, modesty, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. O Jesus, how I love to contemplate you as a child in the poorhouse of Nazareth, with Mary and Joseph. Your simple, humble life was just like that of any other child of your age. You, the splendor of the Father, did not wish anything to distinguish you from the children of men. You, uncreated wisdom, wished to learn from Mary and Joseph. Your creatures, the ordinary little details of life. Joseph showed you how to handle his rudimentary tools, and you watched him attentively. You learned. You obeyed. Mary taught you holy hymns and recounted tales from the sacred scriptures. You listened to her like a humble disciple. You who are the one true teacher. You who are truth itself. No one, neither your relatives nor your fellow townspeople, knew who you really were, barring St. Elizabeth and the Baptist. Everyone believed you to be the carpenter's son and paid no more attention to you than they would have paid to an ordinary apprentice. Only Mary and Joseph knew the fullness. They knew by divine revelation that you were the Son of the Most High, the Savior of the world. And yet, they knew it more by faith than by experience. Your ordinary way of life concealed your majesty and divinity from them so completely that when, without their knowledge, you remained among the doctors in the temple, for that they could not understand the reason for your unusual behavior. That incident, however, was an isolated one. Immediately afterwards, you wished to return to the hiddenness of your most humble life. You went back with them and were subject to them. And this day by day until you were 30 years old. O most sweet Jesus, grant that I may imitate, at least to some degree, your infinite humility. You, the Creator, were obedient to your creatures. Teach me to bow my proud head and willingly obey those who are my superiors. You came down from heaven to earth. Give me the grace to humble myself, to come down once and for all from the pedestal of my pride. How can I bear the sight of your humility and self-effacement? O my God and my Creator, when I, who am nothingness and sin, use the gifts I have received to set myself above others, to prefer myself even to my superiors. These words give us the insight for this, or I should say these two great feasts, this obedience and humility that Christ is showing us are necessary for us to gain heaven. Pride is the antithesis of what God wants us to live in our lives. He wants us to mirror the most humble of all of his creatures, his mother Mary. As the scripture tells us, God was drawn due to her humility, as she says in her Magnificat, that wisdom and beauty and holiness are drawn to such virtues. And so we need ourselves to imitate Christ, showing us, as he has at this time of year, this depth of humility. The opportunities, of course, will always be presented to us to humble ourselves, and these are where the cross are. Humility is hard. In a world that tells us to stand up and be proud about everything, even our sins, Christ himself tells us to humble ourselves in order to imitate him. So this is our big challenge. The contradiction of Christ, the thing that stands against the way of the world, whereby we gain heaven by casting off the things the world says are important. This is our challenge. It is constant. And during Christmastide, it is so clear to us this hidden life of our Lord is one of incredible humility. Imagine, he worked his miracles and tread the land of Judea, preaching to the people for only 3 years after 30 years had been locked away. Choosing to be humble, choosing to be obedient in all of these things. There is such a lesson for us in this, who are so impatient to have our words being heard or to see ourselves doing the things that we think we can contribute. But realistically, the good that we can give is only the good that we have from Christ anyway. As he said, none are good other than his Father in heaven. So this is what we need to take with ourselves at this time of year. The desire to be humble, the desire to deny ourselves, the desire to pick up our cross and follow him. Without these desires, our pride will always be in the way. So as we come near to the end of our time on this show, let's remind ourselves that we can always go another step further on the road of humility. On one of our previous shows, we prayed the litany of humility. Perhaps it's something we could take upon ourselves for 2022 to recite daily, weekly, monthly, but recite that beautiful litany of humility in imitation of our Lord and his Blessed Mother, so that we have this desire to deny ourselves. So with that out in front of us as a challenge, we hope that you have a happy and holy feast of this Epiphany tide, and especially a feast of the Most Holy Family, the perfect example for us of humility, holiness, and love of God in all things. So let's conclude today's show with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. May Almighty God bless you, and we hope to have you back with us again next week. God bless you.